Here's our shout time, if y'all ain't shouted yet. Look, this period of closeness to Israel was a period that opened the door to the Gentiles so that you and I could become a part of the family of God. We ought to be grateful that God gave a period of time for the time of the Gentiles to come in. Because without it, we was without hope and lost in this world. Let me just finish with the restoring love of God. Verses 4 and 5. For the sons of Israel will remain for many days without a king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or household idol. Afterwards. Say afterwards with me. God ain't forgot about Israel. Afterwards, the sons of Israel will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they will come trembling to the Lord and trembling to his goodness in those last days. Finally, we see that God's love is marked by restoring power. Once again, there's another unforeseen outbreak of good news. God declares that following his appointed and perfectly measured withdrawal of his blessings, Israel would indeed repent of their sin and seek him with trembling. Israel will eventually turn to their Messiah, the ultimate King David. Hosea's language is prophetic and futuristic, and it speaks of the reign of Christ at his second coming, when he will establish his kingdom on earth in Jerusalem. God, in his infinite wisdom, knows exactly what is needed to soften the hearts of his people, even if it's in a time frame that we cannot imagine. It's been over 2,500 years. Amen, but God is still. He hadn't forgot Israel. And in the meantime, he made provision for us. Hallelujah. Amen. We can't take for granted what God has done in the life of Gentiles, in the life of us, giving us the privilege and opportunity to be called sons and daughters of God. Man, that's a glorious statement. Hallelujah. We ought to just be grateful for God. And let me just hurry on to the close. Notice that the text said that they will come trembling to the Lord and to his goodness. Coming into the awesome presence of the Lord, trembling makes sense. Huh? If you're coming into the presence of the Lord, trembling makes a lot of sense. He's God. We ought to tremble before his awesomeness. But what about his goodness? What is it about his goodness that would make us tremble? I believe it comes down to the sober awareness of who he is. How can we stand before a God who has been so good to us in spite of our unfaithfulness over the years? We have received the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads us to repentance. But this passage requires each of us to ask truly these heart-searching questions as we get ready to let you go to dinner. Number one, is it a small thing to you that God has shown you undeserved kindness, though you have been like spiritually unfaithful Gomer? Is it a small thing? Look, has God's patience with your disobedience and rebellion somehow gotten pushed to the periphery of your vision that you no longer see him clearly? Have we gotten so comfortable in doing us and running back to church on Sunday saying he'll forgive me, that we have pushed him out of our spiritual periphery and not seeing his holiness that requires us to live differently? Has the high price paid to redeem us somehow slipped off our radar. Before goodness of this magnitude, this kind of goodness, how could we not tremble? When this kind of goodness is freely given, how could we not tremble in God's presence? Come on, let's rest to our feet. This morning you have heard about this love that's indescribable, this love that's unrelenting. And yet I told you that it could have been three more messages about this redeeming love of God, because there's so much more to say about God's redeeming love, his restricting love. He puts hedges of protection because he loves us. He doesn't bound us in because he don't want us to have a good time. He just don't want you to kill yourself. Most of us don't have limits. I mean, look, y'all can say what you want. Most of you don't have limits. And then what limits you do have, you still have something you do in life that's beyond what you should do. Ain't nobody that saved. Ain't none of you come out with a halo on. Because I'm still praying for your mother. Not only does he provide that restricting love, but what makes me lose my mind is that there's a restoring love. Yeah, there's a restoring love that even when I, 1 John 1:9, that if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, everything that's not right about me. He still cares if I just come to him. Just want to know if there's anybody who will come to him to receive that kind of love today. It don't cost you nothing but a few steps down an aisle. He didn't ask you to help him save you. He's done it already. 2,000 years ago, when they nailed him to a cross, put a thorn of crowns on his head, pissed him in his side, and he died. He said, I did it for you.